Praise the Lord. Holy is His name. God's a good God. God's a good God. I just sense this morning we're a little subdued for some reason. It just seems like we're kind of something's on top of us. Well, but I pray that by the time we come to the finish of this service, whatever's trying to hold you back will be off of you, so that you can think the way God wants you to think. And you know, if we're thinking the way God wants us to think, we're always remembering what Jesus Christ did for us. And when we remember what Jesus did for us, my goodness, how could you be in the doldrums when you think of what Jesus has done? When you think that He brought you out of a pit, and you say, "Well, I wasn't that having that much of a bad time before. I wasn't in that bad a pit. You know, things were going good." No, you were in a pit. If you didn't have Jesus, you were in a pit, just like the rest of us. You needed Jesus to reach down His hand to pick you out of that pit and bring you up into eternal life. Praise God. It's awesome, awesome, awesome privilege to be a part of the family of God. We want to never forget the very basics of what we claim to believe in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to share with you some things this morning concerning the anointing of God for favor. We've been talking a little bit about favor in 2012, and I believe this is a year of the Lord's favor. I don't know about what other people are thinking about or talking about in other churches, but I believe that this is the word of the Lord for this church, that 2012 is going to be a year of the Lord's favor. Now, if we're going to receive favor, there's some things that we have to grab a hold of, and we have to be a people who favor the things of God in order for Him to show His favor continually upon our lives. He started the whole process. You know that? He started the whole process as favor, because when we were lost, when we didn't have a hope in this world, we didn't have a home in heaven, God showed His favor toward us when He sent Jesus Christ to us and delivered us from a devil's hell and transformed us into the kingdom of God. And I want to start by reading a scripture this morning in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. And after that, I want to show you a little bit about the progression of Christianity to some degree over time. Isaiah 9, 7 says, "Of the increase," talking about Jesus now, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah prophesying, "of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." Now notice, of the increase of it. It started, and he says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." That's a key phrase there. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. You're looking for the increase of the kingdom of God in your life? Know that it's the zeal of the Lord that's going to perform it. All we're going to have to do is get in line with what He's doing, and the blessings of God will overtake us. Amen. The increase of God is coming. The increase of His kingdom is coming into our lives. Now, I want to look just for a couple of minutes about the progression of believers compared to non-believers over the centuries. And let's put the first slide up. The world population, this is the world population per believer. In the year 100 AD, there were 360 non-believers to every believer. Now, I got this source from the Center for World Missions, this information from Center for World Missions. So back in that year, of the year 100, there was 360 non-believers compared to one believer. Pretty isolated, if you're one believer amongst 360. Now, this is worldwide. I want you to think about this for a minute. So in the year 1000, it changed a bit, and there were 270 non-believers to every believer. So we see there the kingdom of God increasing. We see the influence of Christianity coming over the years. And in the year 1500, we see there were 85 non-believers to every believer. We're growing, having more influence in the world. Remember, God stated in His word, of the increase of His kingdom, there would be no end. So there has to be this increase. God said it by the prophet. He spoke those words. So there has to be this ever-increasing influence of the kingdom of God upon the earth. I mean, when God says something, that's it. I mean, it's going to happen. Doesn't matter what statistics look like, it's going to happen. Over in the year 1900, we see a difference again. There were 21 non-believers for every believer. Things are shifting. things are shifting. And over in 1970, we see again, there were 13 non-believers for every believer. The increase of God's kingdom. Think about the numbers of people who are coming into the kingdom of God. And then in 2010, there were 7.3, I don't know how you get a 0.3 of a person, but there's 7.3 persons for every believer. Now, those are interesting statistics, isn't it? Now, you might say, well, I don't see that growth around me. Well, whether we realize it or not, we're a very small part of the world. When we think about the population, there's 7 billion people on the planet today. And just in North America, here's a small percentage of that. And so we can't think about the what's happening in Canada, the United States, for instance, and think that that reflects what's happening in the rest of the world. Because as far as Christianity goes, it doesn't. I know that there's people coming into the kingdom of God by the hundreds of thousands. They are coming. And we don't see it here so much, but we do see it in other lands. Things are happening. God is moving. There's awesome things happening in the other nations concerning this spreading the gospel. China is just blowing up with Christian influence, and other nations, that some of them are Muslim nations, and the Spirit of God is moving upon people in those nations and even waking them up in the middle of the night with dreams and visitations of Jesus. That'll get your attention. When people have dreams and visitations of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll get your attention. And people are coming to Him over and over again. Now, this is really a word of encouragement to us today. It should be a word of encouragement. Over in 1 Kings chapter 19, 18, Elijah thought he was the only one left. Elijah thought he was the only one left that was following God. And God gave him a word, really a supernatural word, a word of knowledge. And he said, God told Elijah, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. This is a word from the Lord for Elijah to encourage him that he's not alone. And I want you to know that as an individual and as a church, compared to the rest of the world, we're growing. We're not alone. It doesn't matter what's happening in our sphere of influence even, or in our what we know about around us in our environment. The kingdom of God is advancing, and the government of the Lord Jesus Christ is increasing in a wonderful measure. Now, think about this for a little bit. Now, we may not see that in our environment and the people that we work with and so forth. We think, I don't know a Christian amongst them. And it may be that may be the case. It well may be. And yes, we can be isolated. So don't be surprised when you feel like you're not with the flow. Because most of the flow is flowing the wrong way. And you and I are called to stand up against the flow that's trying to get that the world is going, the direction that the world is going. You and I are called to stand up against those things and live for our values, Christian values. And so don't get distressed, or don't get disappointed, or don't get discouraged when those around you are putting something out that you don't agree with. And even in our school systems and so forth, I want to put this forward to you that, yes, it might seem that we are isolated, but God will meet you in your isolation when it comes to being that type of isolation. God will meet you there, and He'll cause you to be able to stand your ground and be able to stand up against the pressure of the world. And He will do it because of the anointing of God. You see, Christianity is a supernatural I don't like to use the word religion, but for the sake of talking here this morning, I'll use that. Christianity is a supernatural relationship with God Almighty, Him breathing His breath into us, giving us the life that He wants us to live. And it comes through the anointing of God. So I want to talk a little bit about that again. We talked before about the anointing of God. We talked about the anointing of God being something that God rubs upon us in order to be able to fulfill a task. Let me read again Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus declaring this. He said these words, the Spirit of the, he read them from the scripture that he was reading that particular day in the synagogue, but he was declaring it about himself as well. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus Christ has come to release captives from their captivity. He declared, I have anointing on me, an anointing that has been rubbed on me by God himself, so that I can release captives, that I can preach the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and so that I can declare also the year of the Lord's favor. He said, God has given me a commission, and he's given me the ability and power to do it. You see, this is what the anointing does. We all of us have to find out our calling in life. And it might be our calling, might be I'm going to be, God has called me and set me particularly to be a mother. And you might see, well, is that a calling? Do I need an anointing to be a mother? We sure do. God is calling us to certain things. Every one of us, for instance, who have children, we're called to be parents. Are we yielding on the anointing of God to be the best parents that we could possibly be? The anointing comes upon us to be able to accomplish the things that God wants us to do. Whether it is a, quote, ministry, which means simply service, what particular area does God call us to serve in? And it might be, you might have wisdom in the area of family and how to be able to get that message across to other individuals, to be able to help them in their family life. The anointing of God will come upon you to be able to do that. It may be in government. Like Charlie's in government, there's an anointing for government. You can find that through the scriptures. God anoints people for government. God anoints people to be able to receive certain favor from him in order to be able to accomplish the task that he wants. It could be a school teacher. God will anoint you to be the best teacher that the school ever had. The anointing of God can be upon you to do that. The anointing of God is the favor and blessing and power of God that gives you the ability to be able to accomplish God's task. But we have to believe for it. Count on the anointing of God. Now, we said last week that there are some things that we can do and act like in order to receive the favor of God upon our lives. In Psalm 25:1, we said, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Preserve means to guard me or to watch over me or to protect me. Let my integrity be a guard over me. Well, if we're lacking in integrity, then our guard is not going to be up there too good, is it? We're going to have our shield open so that the enemy can get at us if we're lacking in the area of integrity, if we're trying to get things done on the sly, if we're trying to cheat a little bit. I remember Dr. Alistair Peacetheory and I were talking one day, and we were talking about a particular church, and he was sharing with me about the problems and issues that were in a particular church. But then he said, you know, when they started their church, when they moved into this situation, they did something, and he told me what it was, but it was a little bit on the sly. And he said, until they go back and deal with that issue, that church is never going to be successful. You see, when we do things out of lack of integrity, we open the door not for the favor of God, but for the curse of the devil. And so it is so important for us to keep in mind that walking in integrity, if we are believing God for the favor of the Lord to be upon us in 2012, then we have to make our choice right off the bat that we will walk before God with integrity, with honor and integrity. And we cannot walk before God with honor and integrity if we refuse to walk before man with honor and integrity. In other words, we have to deal with one another with honor and integrity. And as we do that, we're open for the favor and blessing of God and the anointing of God to come upon us. So let's look again a little bit further into the anointing in regards to the favor of God. And Isaiah 10:27 says this, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. New King James says, because of the anointing oil. The yoke, whatever yoke has been on you, can be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke that was on me, that was leading me, When I was a child of the devil instead of a child of God, you see, I was hooked up with the devil in the way he did things. As long as I was on that was a burden on me, and it was leading me to a place called hell. Well, when I got saved, when I asked Jesus to come into my life and save me from my sin, that yoke was broken and I was delivered. Amen. And I got yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now I have a home in heaven. Praise God. The anointing will do that. The anointing will break the yoke that we are under. There's different kinds of yoke, of course, that we can get under. You know, poverty is a yoke. Poverty keeps people from their fullest potential. Poverty is a yoke, it is a curse, and it is a yoke, and the anointing can come and break that as we yield to it. In Acts 10:38, Jesus was spoken about many times about the anointing that was upon his life. Acts 10:38, Peter the apostle said, remember Jesus. He was preaching and he said, you people, remember Jesus. Remember how God anointed him with power. How God put something on him. God himself anointed Jesus with power and with the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Peter was saying, God anointed the man Jesus. I want us to get this, because when we talk about the anointing of God, it's crucial for us to remember that Jesus Christ walked this earth as a man. He was all God, he was all man, but he left all his godly privileges, if you will, in heaven. He came down to the earth and he began to walk the earth as a man, and he came as a man to the earth to defeat the devil in the same way that the devil defeated man in the beginning. You see, God couldn't come down himself and defeat the devil, just your almighty God. It would be no match. It'd be like squashing a bug. I mean, the devil's no match for God. God in all his glory, there's no possible way that the devil, a created one, could stand up against the Creator. So Jesus came now because God is the God of justice. We discussed that before. God is the God of justice, and he always does things with a sense of justice. So Satan defeated a man at the temptation when Adam and Eve fell. Satan himself went and talked to Adam and Eve while Eve and she was deceived and she fell. And so now God sent Jesus, a man, into the world. And this man now is going to defeat Satan. And we've seen that he did defeat him at the cross. The Bible says that these rulers of darkness, they didn't really know that Jesus Christ would defeat them. They didn't really know that they were about to crucify the Lord of glory, because if they had known, they would have never done it, because they would have known that would have been their defeat. But man, through Jesus, defeated the enemy. Jesus, under the anointing of God, defeated the enemy. Now, man, I'm talking about, when I say man, I say mankind. You're a part of the human race. And you, because you're a part of the human race the way Jesus became a part of the human race, you can be anointed the way Jesus was anointed. So that you don't have to carry the burdens that the enemy tries to put upon us. You don't have to carry the yokes that the enemy tries to connect with us. We can be free from those yokes and those burdens by the anointing of God as well. Jesus was anointed. Peter said that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and the power of God to deliver people from the enemy. To be anointed by God is to be empowered or given the ability to carry out the God-given tasks that you have. Now, you see, those people who are not saved, and I used to say this too, when I used to see people going to church, I could never do that. Before, I could never do that. I could never live a life like that. You know, they go to church Sunday morning. You know, what are they doing? You know, at that time, it seemed like people are going to church twice on Sunday, and we've kind of lost that. Maybe we got to get back to it. And then again on Saturday, or pardon me, on Wednesday night. And people were, I would think, I could never do that. And you know, I couldn't. But what I didn't realize, and what most unsaved people don't realize, when they look at Christians and they say, I could never live like that, they don't realize that once they make the choice to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's an anointing of God comes in to give them an ability to live for him, to give them an ability to enjoy the things of God. You know, people are under an anti-anointing all the time when they go into these places, these clubs and so forth, and they get into a party spirit, and there's all kinds of alcohol, there's all kinds of spirits floating around, not only spirits that come out of the bottle, but all kinds of demonic spirits floating around. People go to them all the time, and there's an anti-anointing there to help them feel good for a while. Now, they'll act like the devil because they have an anointing of the devil. They have something from the devil rubbed on them. Now, Jesus has come so that you can I can have the anointing of God rubbed on us. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now, he who establishes us with you, Paul saying now, that would be like me saying, now, he who has established you guys with me in the anointed one and his anointing, that is Christ, the one who establishes us together in Christ is God, and God has anointed us. God has put his anointing on us. So the scriptures declare that you and I have an anointing. Say this with me. Father, I thank you for the anointing that is upon me. God has anointed us. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ there, that the Lord has been anointed with the oil of gladness. Do you ever think about Jesus coming to Christ, that he desires for you to experience your greatest joy that you could possibly experience as a human being? He wants you to experience the greatest joy that you could possibly experience. Now, think about that. This shouldn't be hard for us to get our head around, although, you know, many of us have come up in churches that have just kind of talked about the sin and the vileness that we are, and we are outside Christ. But on the other side of that, God sees us as his children. Now, which one of us has children that we don't want to see filled, when you don't want to see their lives come to the place where they're experiencing the greatest potential of joy that they could possibly experience? We want that, don't we? Don't we want our kids to experience joy, happiness, the joy of the Lord? Well, you know, we know that, yeah, we don't want to provide them with money to go and get drugs, for instance, because we know, for instance, that, yeah, they might laugh for a while, but that's soon going to die out. And we know that's not the greatest potential for joy. We know that living a lifestyle, a godly lifestyle, is the greatest potential that you and I could possibly have to experience the fullness of joy that the Lord speaks about. And there is an anointing for that. There is an anointing that can come upon us to experience the joy of the Lord. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One. In other words, you're anointed. There's something in you that gives you the ability and the power to live a life the way God wants you to live. There is an anointing, there is something, there is an ability in you to be able to experience the joy that Jesus came that for you. There is an ability in you, an anointing in you, to experience the fullness of life that Jesus came to give us. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just barely get by, not just barely make it, not just barely get through and be depressed half my day. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Well, if you have life to the full, you got no room for depression. You got no room for the doldrums of life. If you have life, Zoe, the God kind of life that he came to give us, you got no room even to be distressed about your circumstances. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Have it to the full. Have it so that you can't get anything else in there. And when we talk about life that's taken from John 10:10, we talk about that life that Jesus came to give us, we're talking about Zoe. The God kind of life. We're talking about life as God has it. Now, whether we like to think about it or not, because I know there's all kinds of things that's going on in the world that all we have to do is watch them for a while and we can get pretty depressed. You know, we can watch about what's happening, just, you know, some of the crazy things that are happening in the world today, and we can either get depressed from it or we can get fear from it. We can look at some of the things that's happening in the nations that where people are going to war and the people are starving because of it. Do you know that 1/3 of all the food that's designated for human consumption in the world is wasted or lost? 1/3. Just imagine how many more people could be fed if that was handled in a better way. It's not, people are hungry today, not because of lack of food. There's a huge distribution problem. And we could look at that and we could get really depressed about that. And we could really get it down to all the